Welcome back to What's Ailing America, the ultimate in reality radio. On this show, you will not only learn what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn how to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world. The ability to overstand and see the big picture is the critical skill. Hold on. Okay. Thank you for calling in. There's all kinds of technical problems we're having, Jess. I'll bring you on in a second. And I'm sure this has something to do with you being on the show. The ability to overstand and see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to escape the living hell we find ourselves in. Regarding health care, this became self-evident to me in 1999 when I created the big picture of all diseases, which is the first diagram that can be found on both of my websites, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com and drcarly.com. Remember, folks, negotiation and compromise with evil is impossible, and the evil predators have been basically recognized, and we've been doing shows on them. And on today's show, I'm going to have a guest I've been trying to get for some time, who is an unbelievable scholar in terms of the Jew problem, you know, the Jew world order that we're facing and becoming more and more obvious every day. Always remember, you can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 or calling me toll-free, thanks to Ron's dependable voice, 888-321-6751. That number is good for the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. You can also check out the archives of my shows for the last number of years on the lightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 716-213-6816 or toll free at 888-320-6151. However, we do ask that listeners not use the toll free number to listen to the show. And very important, callers need to mute their phones and to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. And actually, somebody's calling me on my phone to tell me there's a problem with the show, probably, but I can't pick up that call, obviously. I also have a show on Sundays out of the UK on thesechangingtimesradio.name.com. And always remember, now as the cannibalism epidemic with the tweaked rabies virus is getting going at an unprecedented pace, we're hearing of more cases all the time. In fact, today in my local paper, North Carolina, they had a case of a rabid horse. You can't make this stuff up. If I was you, I would get a colloidal silver generator. Or check on the link section of reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. On today's show, the answer to the question, what's ailing America, is the, a Zionist occupied government. I guess that's a good answer to that question. With my special guest, Zion Crime Factory, he's becoming a very well-known individual in regards to this problem that we've had for eons, but thanks to a number of people who are researching it, it is being put out there, and there's all kinds of ramifications of what happens to you when you start talking about this little problem. And as he has mentioned on other shows many times, it's really amazing. You can talk about any group, but once you start talking about the Jews, all of a sudden, you're guilty of a hate crime. You're guilty of anti-Semitism. They've got all kinds of names for wrongdoing in regards to talking about the true parasites, the true predators, the true whatever word you want to use, pure evil, people without a conscience. That's what I call them. And that is our problem. The problem has been identified, and now we have to figure out what we're going to do about it. So I want to thank you so much, Zion Crime Factory, for being on the show. Your website is just unbelievable, full, chock full of information, which, of course, none of it has ever been refuted. ZionCrimeFactory.com. It's .com, correct?
Yeah, ZionCrimeFactory.com. Thanks for inviting me on. I appreciate the invitation.
Okay, where would you like to start? I have a whole table full of ways we could go here. But please start wherever you would like to start, because, as I said, it is truly amazing at your young age, in your early 20s, that you have dedicated your life to trying to save humanity, basically, from these predators who are destroying everything. And the world really owes you a big thank you, although I know you're not getting one. So take it away.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I began investigating the Jewish question about 4 years ago. And it sort of started off, I was really looking into the 9/11 attacks, in particular as a false flag event. And very early on in my research, I stumbled upon the Israeli connection to 9/11. And it sort of snowballed after that. After I found out that Israel was the prime suspect in the 9/11 attacks as a false flag event to kickstart basically a clash of civilizations between the Western world and the Islamic Middle East for the benefit of international Jewry and Zionism, it sort of was like a snowball effect, and I began looking more into the history of Judaism, the history of Zionism, and it really, the rabbit hole, it doesn't seem to end when you look into this particular group and the crimes and malfeasance and misconduct that they have committed throughout history. It is truly astronomical. And I felt like I had to expose this. I had to inform people about this because I myself have been completely ignorant of it because it's not advertised anywhere. It is not exposed in the media. It is not brought to light in the educational system, in schools. We are fed a pro-Jewish and pro-Zionist propaganda line throughout the entirety of the Hollywood media, the mass media, the educational institutions, and so on and so forth. So I took it upon myself to really try to illuminate these criminals and their agenda for world domination, which I'm thoroughly convinced of, and you can see it unfolding before our very eyes. So I started to post articles and commentaries on blog spots, and I made a few videos on YouTube, and very quickly I began to notice that all of my blog websites and YouTube channels and my videos were immediately censored and deleted from the websites. If I was making websites or blogs or videos claiming there's a Christian conspiracy, claiming there's a Muslim conspiracy, claiming there's a German conspiracy, or really any other group, there wouldn't be as much resistance. In fact, there would be no resistance, and you'd be getting promoted by the Jewish media. If you alleged some Gentile conspiracy in the world, they have no problem with you saying that, and people like Alex Jones and other liars and frauds are actually promoted on the mainstream media, who refuse to recognize the Jewish leading element behind the New World Order. So that's when I got a website. A friend of mine named ProThink bought a site for me, and I began putting my research up on this website. And even recently, our website, our domains, were removed. The hosting company told us to pack up our things and leave, and that we basically got kicked off of our domain, our hosting company, so we had to move all our stuff over to another site. Now, shouldn't that tell you who's running this world, when I have a website, ProThink's got a website, where we are criticizing specifically Jews and their crimes? And we're not allowed to do that. We are kicked off, we are silenced and suppressed, and there have been many people who have come out against Jewry, who have seen that their lives, their reputation, their entire lives are basically destroyed by the media, because they're vilified and slandered and smeared by this group, simply for making statements critical of this group and their actions in the world. So just going by logic, we could prove that the ruling power elite is a Jewish power elite, simply by the fact that the people who speak against them are suppressed, censored, vilified, and in some extreme cases even murdered. in the case of, for example, the Germans during World War II and the National Socialist Movement in Germany, and Adolf Hitler, their country was entirely wiped off the map. They were annihilated with firebombs from the sky and completely destroyed. So anyone who resists Jewish power, Jewish domination, and exposes Jewish malfeasance in the world is a target for destruction.
Well, I just wanted to bring up, it's not just a matter of you exposing what they've done. You are documenting what they've done. You have done your homework, and the truth is out there. And these things can be found out. The documentation of what's going on. One of my favorite documentaries on them is called The Eternal Jew from the 1940s. And it pretty much gives you the background of this parasitic group of nomads that, you know, go from country to country and basically con the people, steal from the people, do all of their evil deeds because they have no conscience. And then they're kicked out of one country and they go to another. Unfortunately, because they've now been able to take over the media, medicine, the courts, the government, there's no more ability to kick them out because they've actually made it a crime. In France, you can go to jail. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is a Zionist-occupied government with my special guest, who calls himself ZCF, Zion Crime Factory. His website is zioncrimefactory.com. And obviously, he has to pretty much use that name because he's exposing some very predatory people, a group of people that are actually taking over our government and have done so, as I was talking about before the break, according to the United States-Israel Enhanced Security Cooperation Act of 2012, H.R. 4133. And it's really amazing, you know, the fact that basically with everything Israel has done and is doing, that this government would basically, you know, pass such a law that pretty much states that, you know, whatever Israel wants, we're going to be there to not only back them but pay for it. Is it any surprise that the United States is becoming more and more hated throughout the world? And this is, in fact, treason. You know, right. these representatives took an oath to protect our Constitution, which has its own problems, as I've talked about on the show many times before, being written primarily by Freemasons. But the fact that this is not even being covered is not surprising, but it's one of the most important things that people have to realize. What right. would you say about the fact that our quote-unquote representatives have done this?
Well, Bobby Fischer, the famous chess champion, he once said that the U.S. government is a facade, that the U.S. government is simply a plaything for the Jews, and that they use the U.S. government as a proxy force, essentially, to accomplish their political objectives in the world. And we see that the United States essentially is the global death-dealing machine against the enemies of the Jews. Anytime the Jews find an enemy in the world, whether it was the Germans back in the 30s and 40s, or it's the Arabs and Muslims today who are resisting Israeli terrorism and Israeli imperialism, they seem to use these governments as their very own personal armies to go and attack and completely annihilate the people who are resisting their tyranny, their domination, their economic subversion, and like you said, their usury in the world. And that's not a coincidence. The Muslims now resisting Israel and Israeli imperialism and the theft of their land. Now the Muslims are being portrayed as the big threat to us and that we need to go fight them and destroy them. And the only beneficiaries of such an endeavor are Israel and world Zionism. And this is a pattern that has occurred all throughout history, especially in the past 200-300 years or so. The past 200-300 years, jewry, international jewry, has really triumphed over all of their enemies and completely ripped from the roots the movements and the peoples, the righteous men in history who have stood up to them and have tried to save their people from enslavement to Jewish economic influence and Jewish media influence and whatnot. When the Tsar was in Russia was resisting them, they financed and fomented a communist takeover of the country in 1917 and unleashed an insane rampage of murder and violence and wiped out millions of people simply because they felt that they were persecuted when in fact they were persecuting the Russians. They were persecuting the Germans. They are persecuting the Arabs and the Muslims today. But the media is so deceptive and so outrageously deceitful that they have portrayed the Jews as the principal victims. The Jews are the perennial victims of history. When you actually look into these events and you look into the real facts behind historical events and these political situations, we find that the Jews have never been the victims. They have always been the eternal oppressors of humanity. And that is why they need a cover with which to commit their crimes. Criminals cannot just come out in the open and openly, say that they're criminals and that they're doing this to us. They have to use guises, disguises, covers in order to trick people, in order to direct attention away from them and make you actually sympathize with the people enslaving you. And that's why they're so successful at what they do. And they'll continue to be successful if we allow them to propagate these lies. And if we don't challenge their lies, then they'll continue to perpetuate them and people will believe it, because most people in a society are lemmings. They don't think. They don't question. They just follow the person in front of them. They go along with the status quo. They go along with the peer pressure, and that's one major way that they control the masses. So we need more critical thinkers to come out and start speaking the truth fearlessly. And the main obstacle to speaking the truth is fear. Most people who know about these things are just scared of the consequences. They are afraid that they will be attacked and demonized and vilified, and that's exactly what happens to anyone who speaks against Jewish criminality. They are turned into devils and demons in the media, and they're financially assaulted. They are targeted for complete demonization and vilification, because they need to portray their enemies as evil in order for other Gentiles to take on that perspective, because they don't fight their own wars. They need Gentiles to fight other Gentiles for them, because they're not warriors. They are sort of more ideological subversives. They are cowards, and they use their money power and their media power to achieve their objectives.
I totally agree with you, and of course, unfortunately, pretty much every element of society has been infiltrated by them. I certainly saw this in my profession of medicine, the courts, as I said, government, religion. It's amazing to me how Christianity has basically become one with Zionism, and even though it talks in the Bible about the synagogue of Satan and things of that nature, somehow they have hoodwinked all of Christianity to make them believe that they're the chosen people, and that, you know, Israel's ability to remain intact is basically the most important thing in, causing Jesus Christ to come back. I mean, the mind control that's being used is just, it's mind-boggling. That's the one thing I will give them credit for, is their genius and their treachery, because as you said, they have turned everything around 180 degrees. Good is evil, evil is good, and they're hiding in plain sight and doing everything that they're doing, but yet, you know, even people that are starting to realize who the bad guys are, since most of them work for the Jews in some way, shape, or form, many people do not have the courage to speak out. because they're afraid of, you know, losing their paycheck as they're being brought closer and closer to the cliff. Their children are being killed with vaccines. Their homes are being robbed by these moneylenders who have invented derivatives and the Federal Reserve and all the rest of it. And they just keep going along to get along because they believe that as long as they don't speak out, they'll be left alone. But they're not being left alone.
Absolutely. I mean, U.S. politicians, in order to get elected, they have to make a pledge that they will do everything that the Jews want. They put on a yarmulke, they go make a voyage to Israel, and they genuflect at the Wailing Wall and pledge their allegiance to Zionism. And that is the only way you can make high office in the United States, is if you sell out your own nation, your own people, to a foreign element that has nothing to do with the interests of the U.S. And it's amazing how many times Jews themselves have come out and openly admitted and boasted about the fact that they're in control and have an inordinate amount of power and influence. For example, a Jewish author named J.J. Goldberg wrote a whole book about it called Jewish Power. A Jewish professor named Benjamin Ginsberg confirmed that the Jews essentially run the American media, banking, government sectors, the publishing industry, as well as the academic arena, in his book The Fatal Embrace, Jews and the State. There are many legendary quotes from rather arrogant and chauvinistic Jews who openly intimating the various conspiracies against Gentiles that they have spearheaded historically. For example, you sent me an email linking to an article that was published in 1928 by a Jewish supremacist named Marcus Ely Ravitch.
Yeah.
And he says, in an article called A Real Case Against the Jews, he admits, he says, and I quote, "You have not begun to appreciate the real depth of our guilt. We are intruders. We are subverters. We have taken your natural world, your ideals, your destiny, and played havoc with them. We have been at the bottom not merely of the latest great war, World War I, but of nearly all your wars and revolutions in your history. We have brought discord and confusion and frustration into your personal life. We are still doing it. No one can tell how long we shall go on doing it. Who knows what great and glorious destiny might have been yours if we had left you alone." Now, that was back in 1928, and there have been much more recent confessions along similar lines from Jewish writers. For example, there was an article published in the Los Angeles Times by a Jewish author named Joel Stein called How Jewish is Hollywood? And at the end of the article, after documenting that the eight major film studios in Hollywood are run by Jews, he says, quote, "As a proud Jew, I want America to know about our accomplishment. Yes, we control Hollywood. I don't care if Americans think we're running the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street, or the government. I just care that we get to keep running them." And even recently, a week ago, there was an article published in the Times of Israel called "Jews Do Control the Media" by a Jewish author named Elad Nehorai. And he says this, is incredible. He says, "Let's be honest with ourselves here, fellow Jews. We do control the media. We've got so many dudes up in the executive offices in all the big movie production companies. It's almost obscene. Just about every movie or TV show, whether it be Tropic Thunder or Curb Your Enthusiasm, is rife with actors, directors, and writers who are Jewish. Did you know that all eight major film studios are run by Jews? And let's not forget AIPAC, every anti-Semite's favorite punching bag. We're talking an organization that's practically the equivalent of the Elders of Zion. The truth is, the anti-Semites got it right. We Jews have something planted in each of us that makes us completely different from every group in the world. The time has come, though. We no longer have to change our names. We no longer have to blend in like chameleons. We own a whole freaking country," end quote. So time and time again, over and over again, we see Jews who are very supremacist in their character, very open about their ability to subvert and destroy, and are bragging and boasting about the fact that they run America and, by definition, the world, because America is the global police force who go around and bomb and pillage and attack nations that are not subservient to international Jewry and international Zionism. And a video that I would highly recommend to people watch that illustrates a lot of these quotes from Jews themselves about their plans and their agenda, which can be found on YouTube, is called The Jews and the New World Order. And there's another important video that I highly recommend people check out. It's called What Famous Men Said About the Jews, and you can find it on YouTube and archive.org. And it simply recites some of the statements that have been made by prominent historical figures about Jewish malfeasance. And there are so many famous and prominent men who have spoken out against the Jews as a conspiratorial force historically, such as the great reformer Martin Luther, who wrote the book On the Jews and Their Lies. There was the late Chancellor of Germany, Adolf Hitler. His entire movement was a manifestation of resistance against Jewish domination, and we saw what happened to him. The great industrialist Henry Ford, he penned the book The International Jew. More recent figures like the former Prime Minister of Malaysia, Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, he came out and said that the Jews rule the world by proxy. They get others to fight and die for them. And the current president of Iran is a good example, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who has confirmed much of this, and we see how he is being treated and how they are beating the drums of war against his nation. So any prominent person, any country, any political movement that resists Jewish rule and Jewish domination is targeted to be wiped out. And that can't be a coincidence. That has to be a result of the fact that Jews have their fingers on the levers of power in the most powerful countries, particularly in the United States, which they have turned into essentially a Jewish state. The U.S. is a Jewish state, and it is solely working in the interests of international Jewry and international Zionism.
Exactly. And you brought up Ahmadinejad. If people actually listen to his speeches, everything he says is true. And he documents everything he says. And just as you said, that's the reason he's being made into a boogeyman, and we'll see what they do to him. But one of my favorite books of their admissions is The Protocols of the Meetings of the Learned Elders of Zion. And the last sentence of the 10th protocol is my favorite. And this is what it says. It is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, struggle, envy, torture, starvation, by the inoculation of diseases, which is in capital letters, so that the Goy see no other issue than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty and money and all else. And it's really hilarious how many Zionists are out there trying to say, oh, this is a cartoon, none of it's true, and isn't it amazing how everything in that book is happening right under our noses? As a matter of fact, I was sent an amazing show on livestream.com where Jewish Janet Phelan and Barbara Hartwell attack you, but it's very funny, actually, because they can't refute anything you say, so they just start calling you names.
Exactly. And that's typical of the people who are against me and against my message. They have no refutation. They have nothing with which to counter the facts that I present. Everything comes down to an ad hominem attack, just name-calling and pathetic and ridiculous diversions from the fact that Jews are the leading element behind this thing called the New World Order. Those two clowns are so pathetic and the statements that they have made are utterly insane. Like the Barbara Hartwell, this raving lunatic, actually claimed that the CIA is run by Nazis. If you could actually picture this, this is almost equivalent to saying that the CIA is run by reptilians or space aliens, because the CIA was founded, originally was called the OSS, and it was founded by President Roosevelt, a fanatical Jewish supremacist who had Jews up and down in his regime, and the OSS essentially was created in order to undermine and destroy National Socialist Germany during World War II. It was created in 1942 to infiltrate, sabotage, and undermine the Axis powers. So it was created as an anti-Nazi organization, and it was filled to the brim with Jews and Zionists and communists and Soviet agents who were working to attack and murder Germans during the Second World War. So what these disinformation agents will do is essentially they will flip the script. Anytime the Jews are pushing an agenda, anytime the Zionists are pushing an agenda or are behind an organization and controlling a entity, they say it's the Nazis. They just project the crimes of Jewry onto their enemy. So they're doing a reversal of the truth, and they've done this with pretty much everything that has occurred in the past 200-300 years. They have tried to scapegoat Gentiles for their own crimes, and they have tried to pin the blame for their murderous malfeasance around the world on the people who are standing up against them, the righteous people, the righteous men who have worked to free their nation and their people from the grip of these murderous bandits. So, you know, there's so many different false theories out there that are propagated by Jewish and Zionist disinfo agents in order to get you off the track of international Jewry. You have people out there claiming that it's the Vatican and it's the Jesuits and it's the globalists and it's the Illuminati and it's the New World Order and it's the Nazis and it's the Muslims. You have so many different contradictory theories sending you in these different directions in order to get you off the track of the true culprits behind the New World Order. If you actually took the time to look into things like the Illuminati or the Freemasons and whatnot, you'll find that all of those organizations and entities are Jewish at its root, founded upon the principles of Jewish supremacy and Judaism. Freemasonry, a famous Jew admitted that if you take away the rites and rituals of Judaism from Freemasonry and Kabbalism, which is Jewish mysticism, then what are you left with? Nothing, because Freemasonry is a movement that is controlled by international Jewry, and Freemasons historically have been the foot soldiers participated in every political subversive movement that Jews have spearheaded. The Freemasons have been marching lockstep with them. And the Illuminati was created by Adam Weishaupt, a Jew financed by the Rothschild family. So every time you look into these secret societies and these subversive movements, we find the hidden Jewish hand behind them. And what these disinformation specialists will do is they will, invoke these vague and tangible boogeymen that you can't really put your finger on them, because they want to essentially cover up the Jewish element in this. They are there doing this deliberately. I don't think they're just ignorant. They are doing this deliberately because they're in the pay of this network of criminals. And you mentioned the Protocols of Zion. Perfect illustration of the Jewish Zionist conspiracy for world domination. The irony of it is if they try to say it's a forgery and it's fake, which itself is a conspiracy theory, because Jews are saying that the protocols were an anti-Semitic conspiracy faked by the Russian Tsar to frame us. So they are peddlers of conspiracy theories themselves, and they're calling us the conspiracy theorists. So they're blatantly hypocritical. They have no arguments to refute what we say, and the protocols are very important, and there is a blueprint for Jewish world domination, and we don't even need the protocols because this agenda, this fascination with world domination is iterated in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, in the Talmud. Jews themselves have come out and openly professed that they want to rule the earth and enslave the Gentiles.
Yes, exactly. And actually, one of my favorite creations of themselves, the psychopath bloodline, as I call them, is the Kol Nidre, where they take on Passover an oath not to. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is Zionist-occupied government, with my special guest, ZCF, Zion Crime Factory. And unfortunately, my Skype is having problems, not surprisingly, because I've been talking about having ZCF on my show today. So I expected lots of interference, and so it's hard for me to hear when the music comes in. Before the break, we were talking about the Kol Nidre, where the Jews take an oath not to honor any of their oaths. And that is the perfect example of what a Jew does. As a matter of fact, there's an excellent website, SherryShriner.com/Talmud, where she gives what she calls tidbits from the Talmud. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but in their holy book, you know, they talk about things such as a Jew not need pay a Gentile the wages owed him for work. Gentile women are designated animals. Only Jews are human. If a Jew is tempted to do evil, he should go to a city where he is not known and do the evil there. But my favorite quotes are different Sanhedrin texts where they talk about they can marry a girl 3 years old. A Jew may have sex with a child as long as the child is less than 9 years old. When a grown-up man has intercourse with a little girl, it's nothing, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not just the different areas they've taken over. It's the demoralization of the human race. I mean, Jews are the creators of pornography. And isn't it amazing? We have, you know, the Supreme Court justices are either Jewish or Catholic, which is totally in alignment with the Jews, of course. And, you know, they have all these pornographic websites and things of that nature. 800,000 children go missing in the United States every year. That's according to the Department of Justice's own statistics. But nothing is done, because this is what these people do. And so basically, you know, they find ways to allow all these things to occur, and they only prosecute individuals who are not part of their little group.
Exactly. I mean, the Jews are the only group in the world that we could say have essentially gotten away with the totality of their historical malfeasance and criminality. If they committed insanely atrocious act in the world, they either have it blamed on another group, such as 9/11 being blamed on Muslims when it was committed by Israel's Mossad, such as the Armenian genocide being blamed on Muslims when it was entirely led and organized by crypto Jews called the Young Turks, or the history of bloody Bolshevism in Russia. And then the mainstream history books won't tell you that nearly every single top communist functionary in the genocidal Soviet state who wiped out more than 40 million people in gulags, artificial famines, death camps, and by mass shootings, nearly every single communist official was Jewish, and the whole revolution was spearheaded by Jewish revolutionaries like Leon Trotsky, Bronstein, Lenin, and Kaganovich, and Grigory Zinoviev, and a whole host of others. And the mainstream history books try to convince us that this was just some Russian movement. So they love to scapegoat Gentiles. Every time they commit a crime, they either do that, or they will just wipe it from the history books. They just won't write about it. They will censor anybody who does expose it and does bring light to it and write about it. They are notorious for that. They are notorious for whitewashing history, rewriting history to their benefit, weaving lies and propaganda and fabrications into our history books in order to make themselves look like these innocent little angels who have never committed a wrong in the history of mankind. And that's exactly how they are so successful at accomplishing their goals of power and supremacy over Gentiles. You mentioned, you know, the Talmud and the insane criminality that is promoted in the Talmud. Not only in the Talmud, but also in the Old Testament, the foundation of Judaism is based on lies and deceit, and deception and exploitation of Gentiles, on usury, which is advocated openly in the Old Testament. The Jewish God Yahweh commands Jews to commit usury on Gentiles, but not on thy fellow Jews. In the Old Testament, their God commands them to slaughter anyone who gets in their way, who is may even just be situated in a particular landmass that the Jews covet, and their God commands them to wipe those people out, just like they've done in Palestine by ethnically cleansing the Palestinians and establishing a terrorist enclave there called Israel. And their Old Testament openly tells them that they will inherit the wealth of the Gentiles, that they shall suck the milk of the Gentiles, that the wealth of the nations, and nations is another word for goyim, will come unto the Jews, and that the Jews will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches they will boast. It calls them to make slaves of non-Jews. In the book of Isaiah, it says, the aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And it says things like, for the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. And also in Isaiah, it says that kings will be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. So these proclamations of Jewish supremacy is dripping off of every line and sentence in the Old Testament and in the Talmud, and from Jews themselves, prominent rabbis and the most revered sages in Judaism, like Moses Maimonides and Schnur Zalman of Liadi and Rabbi Mendel Schneerson, the Lubavitcher Rebbe of the supremacist and insane anti-Gentile sect of Jewry called Chabad Lubavitch, who openly say that Gentiles are inherently evil and that it is perfectly fine to murder Gentiles. Like Ovadia Yosef has called for the enslavement of all non-Jews, that we are donkeys. He said they were only born to serve them as slaves. That was reported in the Jerusalem Post. So they don't even hide their blatant supremacy and their criminal inclinations and their genocidal aspirations to conquer the entire planet. It is the ancient dream of Judaism to do that. And this conspiracy has manifested in countless ways throughout history. And continues to manifest today, and it is just going to increase in its intensity because they are hell-bent on accomplishing this task. They believe it is a divine right, that they are the chosen race of God, and that we are nothing more than cattle to be used and abused and enslaved. And we need to fight this evil, or else that's exactly what's going to happen to us.
Well, obviously their God is a psychopathic God, because our idea of God is a source of truth and light and all things good, you know, do unto others type thing. I'm very interested if you've ever come across their definition of evil, because how can they call their donkey evil? What's their donkey doing that's evil?
Well, their definition of evil is anyone who is resisting Jewish ethno-religious ambitions. So if you get in the way of anything that they want to accomplish, then you're evil and you deserve to be wiped out. They don't really believe in evil because they commit so many crimes that how could they possibly have any concept of evil? They don't. They don't believe what they do is evil. They have dehumanized Gentiles so much in their culture and religion and when they're brought up that they believe every permissible criminal action against Gentiles is perfectly fine and that it's sanctioned by their deity Yahweh.
And that's why I call them people without conscience, because it's very obvious that they have no conscience, and this is a bloodline thing. And I had John Kaminsky on my show last week, and one of the couple of things that we disagreed on was he was saying that they're a victim of dogma. I'm very convinced that it's not just a dogma thing, that there's something in their bloodline that they don't have a conscience and that they're able to commit these atrocities and lie and con and do everything else that they do and think that that's okay because basically they're the chosen ones and whatever they want to do is fine. And actually, I was talking to one of my clients before the show, and he made an excellent analogy because I'm constantly trying to get people to realize, you know, you can't get rid of a predator, parasite, psychopath. I'm sorry, you can't forgive them. You can't turn the other cheek because their goal is to destroy you and steal everything you have, your health, your children, your finances, everything. So you can't forgive them and turn the other cheek. And so I've compared them to parasites. You know, if you have a parasite in your GI tract, you're not going to forgive it as it's stealing all your nutrition. You're going to take herbal supplements like black walnut and things of that nature to get rid of the parasites. But my client had made an analogy to this group of fish. They're called snakehead Asian fish who can actually walk on land. They were brought here by some psychopath, when I don't know, but they've actually now infiltrated the waterways this side of the Mississippi up as high as Lake Michigan, and these parasitic fish are destroying all the fish in the waterways. And as I said, they can walk on land. So when I heard about that fish, I was thinking about the documentary, The Eternal Sea, as they're showing the map of right. where these parasites were going from country to country. You know, we have the same thing happening in nature with things like the snakehead Asian fish. And they have to be taken out. I am not a promoter of violence. And we're back with West Ailing America, where our answer today is Zionist occupied government with my special guest, Zion Crime Factory. And he is an example of what the young people need to do. I actually feel very bad for young people today. I'm 57 years old. When I was in my early 20s, I had no clue what was going on. I was, you know, going to parties and going to college and doing whatever, you know, being propagandized by the educational system. And it's very sad that young people of today have to wrap their head around what's going on just to survive, because the hell that is being created here on this planet is beyond anything that could be even described in a sci-fi movie. These people are destroying everything. They're destroying our food, our air, our water, our health with vaccines and big pharma drugs. The list is endless. We now have this cannibalism outbreak that has happened, which I have no doubt is due to weaponized rabies. In fact, I have a contract from the Wistar Institute where they have actually started to develop a vaccine for weaponized rabies. Of course, they have to have weaponized the rabies to begin with to make a vaccine that's going to spread it further, because that's how these pandemics have always been propagated. They come out with a story that there's some biowarfare agent that's threatening the people, and then they talk them into getting injected with the very weapon in order to allegedly protect them, which, of course, is going to spread the pandemic. And this is a perfect example of what these psychopaths do. And I just want to mention the name of that fish that I was talking about before the break, because I couldn't hear when the music came on. But you have to check this out, folks. Snakehead Asian fish. That is the fish version of the Jews, in my opinion. I'm so grateful to you for all the work that you've done, ZTF, in investigating all these things. Another thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that we're always hearing about these evil boogeymen, the Muslims, and their Sharia law. One thing we never hear about is the Noahide laws. And in fact, according to my research, in March of 91, Bush signed them into law. Have you found any information about that in your research?
I haven't looked too deeply into that, but it definitely is a tenet in Judaism to essentially colonize the world and turn us all into these subservient zombies who must be beholden to Judaism. And that is the tenet of these Noahide laws, is to make Gentiles into these psychophantic Jew lovers who do the bidding of their masters. And Bush also signed into law this Global Anti-Semitism Review Act in 2004, where he literally created an entity in the U.S. government tasked with monitoring global anti-Semitism, not just in the U.S., globally. So the U.S. government has taken on itself the task of eradicating criticism of Jews everywhere in the world. This is incredible. But
I have to comment on that, because that is very interesting, because we remember his son, Baby Bush, making a statement, you're either for us or against us, you know, after the false flag 9/11 thing. So in reality, what they're really saying is you're either for the Zionists or against the Zionists, because they are us. We have become them.
Exactly. And the U.S. government is the vehicle with which the Jews are promoting the New World Order. And the New World Order is merely the agenda for Jewish world domination. And they have spoken openly about that. And there's a few quotes that I want to bring up. And I always say these quotes on any radio shows because it's such a benefit to the listeners, because they're so potent and they illustrate so candidly the agenda. And one of them was reported in the New York Times, which is a Jewish-owned newspaper, in 1940. And the article was called New World Order Pledge to Jews. It didn't say New World Order Pledge to Nazis. It didn't say New World Order Pledge to Christians. It said New World Order Pledge to the Jews. And it reported on a proclamation made by a top British official named Arthur Greenwood, who was the head of one of the big political parties in Britain, and who was part of the British war cabinet executing the war against Germany, the war to exterminate Germany during World War II. And what he said was that he would help the Jews after the war, World War II, after the defeat of the Axis powers. He said he would give an opportunity to the Jews everywhere to make a, quote, distinctive and constructive contribution in the rebuilding of the world. So essentially, he pledged the Jews world domination. He was going to hand them world domination on a silver platter upon the defeat of Hitler, because he was the last enemy and adversary of the New World Order, which is the Jew World Order. And another even more brazen statement than that was uttered in the year 1907 by a Zionist leader named Dr. David Wolfson. And he was the head of the World Zionist Organization, which was trying to foment and create the State of Israel as the hub or base of this New World Order, this Jewish supremacist international system of domination over Gentiles. And what he said was reported in the New York Times again. So this is their own newspaper from their own mouths. And the title of the article is called Jews Must Conquer. Dr. Wolfson delivers closing speech at Zionist Congress, and he reported that at the 8th International Zionist Congress held at The Hague in 1907, in his closing speech, Dr. Wolfson declared that the Jewish people must yet conquer the world. So time and again, we see them openly boasting and elucidating their desire for world government, for world domination, and the usurpation of all remaining Gentile regimes. And this was also spoken by the first prime minister of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, and this quote is absolutely incredible, and it was spoken in the late 1950s, and it was recorded in his own book called David Ben-Gurion in His Own Words, and he makes a prediction, and he says this, quote, "With the exception of the USSR as a federated Eurasian state, all other continents will become united in a world alliance at whose disposal will be an international police force. All armies will be abolished and there will be no more wars. In Jerusalem, the United Nations, a truly United Nations, will build a shrine of the prophets to serve the federated union of all continents. This will be the scene of the Supreme Court of Mankind to settle all controversies among the federated continents as prophesied by Isaiah," end quote. So he essentially said that the Jews will rule the world from Jerusalem, as was prophesied by the Jewish supremacist Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah, as I have previously stated, is rife with proclamations for Jewish world domination and the Jewish takeover of all finance and the Jewish usurpation of any Gentile kingdom that does not serve the Jews. So when you take all of these statements together by Jewish leaders, when you take all of the Old Testament prophecies and all of the Jewish supremacist ravings in their holy books, when you take all of that together, you have one of the most brazen and blatant pictures that could ever be painted, illustrating this Jewish quest for world domination, world ownership, and world power. And it is so obvious, it is so blatant, it is so in your face, you can't miss it. Anyone who is speaking of some other vague conspiracy boogeyman, you know, blaming things on globalists or the Illuminati, or, you know, these clowns are even more willing to blame space aliens or reptilians than name the Jews as the culprits, which shows that their complicity with this criminal network.
Exactly. And actually, since you're bringing up Isaiah, I've only read the Bible once, and I had a big problem with it. Too many controversies, hypocrisies, etc. But especially the Old Testament, where their God likes to smell burning flesh and wants, people to sacrifice their children. And then it's like at the last minute, oh, I was just kidding, here's a goat, whatever. But Isaiah 45:7 actually states, depending on what version of the Bible you read, that God created evil. God created darkness and disaster, whatever the case may be. So that goes to show you, you know, what their God is about. But I wanted to bring up a couple more things. I could talk to you all day. But in our upcoming elections, we have a real problem because, of course, we have our a traitor in residence of the White House, Obama, whatever, Barry Cicudo, whatever his name may be. But actually, I have a tape of a APAC conference that was held May 9th of 2009. It was broadcast on C-SPAN, where Joe Biden actually states that he's a Zionist. He also states during his presentation to the American Jews that Obama is also a Zionist. Then we have Mitt Romney coming out and saying that he's been a... And we're back with What's Failing America, causing a lot of steam to curd here in Zionist-occupied America with our Zionist-occupied government. And along those lines, we were talking before the break with Zion Crime Factory in regards to the reason that Israel had to be actually made a nation state, because as all their psychopaths were throughout the world, you know, back in the early 1900s, they can write all their documents. But they needed a home base. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's exactly the case. They needed a central organization with which they could launch their litany of crimes and global subversive activities from and get away with all of it. And then when they get caught, or if they got caught, they could just retreat back to Israel, which doesn't have any extradition treaties with foreign countries. A Jewish criminal who is convicted in a Gentile country oftentimes will flee to Israel, and they will not be prosecuted, and Israel will protect them from prosecution. A perfect example of that was a Jewish communist concentration camp or death camp commandant named Solomon Morel. After World War II in 1945, Joseph Stalin, the Soviet dictator, set up 1,255 communist concentration camps in addition to the thousands of Jewish communist gulags that already existed, in addition to all of the German labor camps that had been taken over by the Soviets and then used as death camps against Germans. And Solomon Morel murdered 1,500 German men, women, and children deliberately and starved them to death, beat them to death, murdered them in cold blood. And in 1990, when communism collapsed, he was they tried to get him for war crimes in Poland, and he fled to Israel, and Israel refused to send him back to face a trial for his mass murder activities. And this point about Israel being a hub for global Jewish criminality, this was elucidated by Adolf Hitler in 1925 perfectly in his book Mein Kampf, where he said, and I quote, "For a while, the Zionists try to make the rest of the world believe that the national consciousness of the Jew finds its satisfaction in the creation of a Palestinian state. The Jews again slyly dupe the dumb goyim. It doesn't even enter their heads to build up a Jewish state in Palestine for the purpose of living there. All they want is a central organization for their international world swindle, endowed with its own sovereign rights and removed from the intervention of other states, a haven for convicted scoundrels and a university for budding crooks," end quote. And that is probably the best possible description of the nation state of Israel, its purpose and its function, and the reason that it was created. And another point that I always hit hard on, and it's the focus of my research and my articles and essays and whatnot on my website, is a Holocaust revisionism and setting the record straight on the truth about World War II and the alleged claimed Holocaust of Jews, which all of the evidence has determined and is irrefutable, that it simply is a fairy tale that scientifically couldn't have occurred. And the state of Israel was formed on the basis of this Holocaust myth, and without this myth, they could never have done that. They could never have gotten the world's sympathy in order to perpetrate the ethnic cleansing, colonization, and establishment of the state of Israel. And this was even said by a Jewish Masonic leader from Canada in 1991, and he stated, and he was a member of the B'nai B'rith, which is a subversive Jewish Masonic secret society that attempts to undermine anyone who speaks the truth. And what he said in an article which was published in the Toronto Star, and he said, quote, "Memory of the Holocaust is central to the New World Order. Achieving our quest of a New World Order depends on our learning the Holocaust lessons," end quote. And what he means by that is that this fictional invention that supposedly 6 million Jews perished in World War II would be utilized as a vehicle for Jewish power and world domination. And we have seen that it has been used as an ideological weapon to enslave Gentiles, to psychologically enslave the Gentiles, to sympathize with Zionism, to sympathize with Jews, and to support everything that the Jews do following World War II. It has been used as their primary weapon with which to conceal their own crimes, like the crimes they committed in under Bolshevism in Russia, the tens of millions that they murdered, and to put down criticism of their more recent crimes that they are committing in Palestine. And on my website, I recommend everybody take a look at this. It's called The 6 Million Myth. Yeah. And what I do is I reproduce newspaper clippings from Jewish newspapers and statements made by Jewish leaders invoking this Kabbalistic fairy tale that 6 million Jews were either on the verge of extermination or being persecuted heavily somewhere in the world. And this fairy tale has been invoked over and over again by Jews to, like I said, to draw attention away from their crimes and to make it look like they're the victims. And the one of the most incredible quotes that illustrating this agenda was spoken by Rabbi Stephen S. Wise. He was the leading Zionist agitator in the United States, who was an advisor to Woodrow Wilson, Roosevelt, other presidents, a real influence peddler. And Rabbi Stephen Wise, in the year 1900, that's 33 years before Hitler came to power, 39 years before World War II started, and about 14 years before World War One started, he said, "There are 6 million living, bleeding, suffering arguments in favor of Zionism." Okay, and in 1907 or 1906, there was an article that was published again in the New York Times, where a Jewish publicist goes over to Germany and he's trying to convince the Germans that the Russian Tsar was killing or had a systematic plan to murder 6 million Jews. And the fact is that I publish numerous clippings going from 1900 to 1945, where Jews are claiming that 6 million Jews are on the brink of being exterminated. So if they lied about it back then, because they don't even claim that 6 million Russian Jews were killed by the Tsar, they were lying about it in World War One, where they were claiming 6 million Jews were dying then, and they're lying about it today. And a simple illustration of that fact is that before World War II even ended, this was in late 1944, a Jewish communist propagandist named Ilya Ehrenberg floated out the claim that 6 million Jews had died before the war was even over. They already had it on the plate and were pumping it out for decades prior to World War II. And my research is focused on Holocaust revisionism, because I believe that this myth is essentially the very foundation of the Jew world order, that without it, they wouldn't be able to commit the crimes that they commit. They wouldn't be able to take over nations so easily, because they wouldn't have the sympathy and they wouldn't have people siding with them in these historical disputes so often, because they have propagated so much atrocity propaganda and made themselves out to look like the principal victims, when in fact they are the principal perpetrators. But just to go along that point, the 6 million number has already been debunked, even by the official story, even as far as official story is concerned. They reduced the death tolls at several of the major camps in Poland. First, they claimed that 23 camps were death camps during the war. They had all this propaganda. They were saying the Germans are murdering Jews in all the camps. Then they reduced that at the end of the war. Historians and investigators had a look at these camps and determined that the ones that they saw were not death camps. They were just prison and labor camps, as every country during a war sets up concentration camps and puts people in them. The U.S.
But in fact, Eisenhower had 200 death camps that had no facilities, which were obviously death camps. So that's another part of how everything's been twisted around.
And we never hear about that. Of course not.
No, we don't.
victims were Germans. And they were deliberately murdered, served to death by the Allies, the vindictive Allies who were openly Jewish supremacists. Sorry, I'm here. I don't know if it's my mic or your mic.
Yeah, you break it up, but keep going. We're definitely having interference, but keep going.
Okay, but...
Are you still there? Go ahead.
The point is that the official story is told at several of the major events at Auschwitz for 45 years. They were that 4 million died there. In 1990, they reduced that to 1 million. So admittedly, they made up 3 million victims that didn't exist. It was propaganda to Germany and to promote Jewry, promote Zionism. That 1 million figure is a set of lies that cannot be substantiated by any documentation or physical evidence. Auschwitz was a labor camp. If you simply go there and look at all the facilities in the camp, you find a swimming pool with a diving board. You find a soccer field. You find you find hospitals. You find that the inmates actually perform orchestras, whatnot. It had, you know, even Jews were giving birth in Auschwitz. Since when do you give birth in a death camp? It makes absolutely no sense. How would they build all of these facilities if they just wanted to kill them? They would have done what Jewish communists did in Russia. They would have shot them or starved them to death like Stalin and Lazar Ivanovich's Jewish henchmen in the KGB starved 10 million Ukrainians to death in the Holodomor in 1932. That's the most efficient way of mass starvation of famines. So it makes absolutely no sense to build all these camps, put all these facilities in there that are clearly released activities if they just wanted to kill these people for labor and in fact paid for their services. Now, the other camp that they was called Mauthausen. 1960, the Encyclopedia Britannica claimed that 2 million Jews died in this camp. Since reduced that to 95,000, of the 95,000 who died, 14,000 were Jews who died of disease and starvation due to the annihilation of the Germans. Millions of people were starving to death, Eastern Europe. And this was a result of Jewish-led allied campaign of these countries. Get food and medicine to the camps. Typhus epidemic. People are starving to death. And that is the pictures that they show you of these corpses. They are the victims of disease. And the pictures have been represented as somehow being victims of gassings or electrocutions or steam chambers into soap and lampshade. Grease and fertilizer, cabbage. The amount of insane, obscene propaganda that was used in about Germany during World War II is mind-blowing, sick and twisted, and it needs to be put down because it's false. It is a smear against Germany. They didn't commit this crime that they accused. This is just a perpetuation of Jewish atrocity propaganda that was put out during World War II in order to push the Western nations into war against Germany. An excuse to get people killed up, to get them angry, pissed off so they won't, and kill Germans, apparently save the Jews from even happening. That's the main principle of Jewish media. Invent atrocity stories concerning babies, babies being ripped apart, bayoneted on the ends of the German rifles. These atrocities of World War One and even before that, they invoked over and over again. They had, none of them have any. The Holocaust revisions have systematically dismantled the official story of the Holocaust, turned it into just a pile of shit. There's nothing truthful, misrepresented, used as a for Jewish supremacy, communism. And I have plenty of articles on my website going into specific detail, debunking the atrocity of these German labor camps. And I think it's one of the most important topics, if not the most important topic to discuss and to elucidate, to promote, because without it, you would not be able to do what they're doing to us today.
Exactly. And I strongly encourage all the listeners to go to your website. It'll take you some time to go through it all, but the information is unrefutable and outstanding. And one thing I was just curious about that I haven't heard you address on other shows, although I'm sure I haven't heard all the shows that you're doing, that you've done, but this whole 6 million number, there must be something occult about it. As you said, that number has been put out there since the early 1900s. Have you found anything about why they've used that number? What is it about that 6 million number?
The 6 million number origins in Jewish religion, estimate, and Kabbalism. There's a book, Holocaust Dogma, Keystone of the New World Order, and it's in the book. It elucidates how prophecies in the Jewish Torah, which speak of sick perishing in a Holocaust, as the sort of Jews' gallant return to the Promised Land. And what do we see after World War II? The Jews make Stein and found the state of Israel. Is that a coincidence? It just is that, you know, the narrative of what to find that it fits perfectly with prophecies in the Old Testament. That's a coincidence. That is the work of Jewish myth makers and committing their and making it fit their prophecy. So this is a Kabbalistic invocation, a Kabbalistic myth. The number six has a great significance in Jewish religious beliefs. And you see a six-pointed star. Really the son of David represents six, the symbol of Satan, which is really, I'm not religious myself. These ridiculous myths, and they follow them. And they're committing their faith on really the commandments of their God in the Old Testament. And they're the most propagandist, and their most useful tool is with which to psychologically enslave and make Gentiles the subservient servants to commit. They're commit to their and carry out their deeds for them and to cover up and help them with everything that they want.
Which is an amazing concept, to aid and abet your own destruction. That's what's mind-boggling to me. I mean, at this point, anybody that's got any working neurons in their brain has to realize something is very gone amiss here, and that they're actually paying money to be killed. On so many levels, with all the agencies that are allowing us to be poisoned with our air, food, water, bodies, etc. But that's what's really amazing as to how cunning they have been in terms to get us, you know, the non-Jews, to aid and abet our own destruction, to pay for our own demise. It's really amazing in how evil they are.
Well, essentially today, Gentiles are, you know, paying for their own enslavement. They're paying for their own brainwashing. They spend money on Hollywood movies to get as if we need any more propaganda about World War II and the Holocaust and whatnot. They're paying these insane amounts for college and university to just get more deception and lies and false propaganda pumped down their throats. So this is incredible how they've essentially gotten us to pay for our own destruction, to give them the shekels, and they commit these crimes against us, and we're just going along with it. And, you know.
Right. And if we object, we're guilty of hate crimes and anti-Semitism. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's truly amazing what they've accomplished.
George Orwell's 1984 has essentially come into being, and we see it unfolding before our very eyes, and there's very few people speaking out against it. You know, you're one of them, Deanna Spingola, ProThink, and there's a good handful of people who are on the right track and who are consistently fighting these devils, but overall, I see that there's still a ton of disinformation being pushed in the alternative truth movement. There's a ton of obfuscation, and there's a lot of propagandists who are advancing essentially the lies, the even mainstream historical lies of Jewry, especially concerning World War II and Hitler. You see even alternative talk show hosts pushing all of the mainstream propaganda about World War II. Have they never heard the adage that the victors write the history? Have they never heard of this? Yet they're promoting what you can find on mainstream media news channels. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's why, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, people like Alex Jones, Jeff Renz, I mean, you don't become a multimillionaire by telling the truth. That's first of all. Second of all, you don't get on mainstream media by telling the truth. When I saw Alex Jones on The View, I was like, whoa. I mean, how obvious can it be that he's working the other side? And that's how they operate. You know, 90% truth, 10% disinformation. And, of course, the disinformation is what's keeping you from saving yourself, not to mention the fact that, you know, giving all the fear but never giving solutions. There are solutions, and I don't claim to have all of them, but obviously doing nothing is not going to help. And we have to stand up and just say no.
Absolutely, and we have to be fearless in telling the truth, because if you let fear take over your mindset, then you'll be sitting there in your chair shivering as these criminals murder and pillage and plunder and take over the planet. And if you want to see a bright future, you're going to have to fight at some point.
Right, and also you can't be an ostrich. You can put your head in the sand, but guess what? Your butt's right up in the air, and they're going to come along and clip you. And I have an excellent Gary Larson cartoon in my office that I love. It's a mother putting her child to bed, and she's telling her child there is no such thing as monsters. And you can see the monster hiding under the bed. Yes, we are infiltrated with monsters, and we have to face it. It's a matter of growing up. You have to get a backbone. You have to face reality. And as they're doing more and more, they're stealing children from good families. They're killing them and maiming them with vaccines. They're using them for child pornography. The list is endless. And parents especially, they really have to, as I said, grow up and get a backbone and start to become protectors. If you don't protect yourself and your loved ones, then basically you're aiding and abetting the psychopaths. And you deserve what you get, in my opinion. Okay, there's the music. After the break, I want to talk about this Holocaust remembrance. And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where I answer today's been the Zionist-occupied government with my special guest, DCF, Zion Crime Factory, who I hope to have back in the future because we've had so many problems during this show. Can't take any callers, no surprise, because I've been putting it out there that he was going to be on the show. But before the break ended, you were bringing up a minion you wanted to mention. Please do.
Well, there's this Jewish actor, director, lunatic named Eli Roth, and he's essentially spearheaded the idea of making like these torture porn films, not actual porn. They're in theaters, but these degenerate, disgusting, and psychopathic films about murder and torture. And he's also in the film Inglourious Basterds, one of the most disgusting and filthy movies that has ever been produced. And it's all about glorifying the murder of Germans. And he was on some reality show where they were testing to see if someone's a psychopath, and they put him through all these tests, and they showed him, like, they put him to sleep and they showed him these, or half asleep, and they showed him these pictures of violence and stuff, and they recorded the response of his brain to seeing these violent images, and essentially they determined that he didn't even at all have any kind of feeling of sympathy or any kind of response to seeing these sick pictures and violent images. So they determined that he is literally a certified psychopath. And that is pretty typical of all of our famous movie directors and film media moguls who are putting out this disgusting, degenerate stuff out of Hollywood consistently.
Well, not only that, but that they're doing scientific studies to find out what parts of the brain are disfigured, deformed, whatever, in psychopaths. They have found that out. It's the temporal lobes of the brain, the hippocampus, amygdala, near the ears, on both sides. So they're studying that. Then there's the MIT study I've talked about many times on my show, which I'll send to you also, at MIT, a CIA organization, where they're figuring out how to make psychopaths by stimulating their brains with magnetic pulses. Of course, that brings up magnetic resonance imaging, very disturbing. But yes, as we were talking about during the break, see, they are psychopaths. The definition of a psychopath is one who has no conscience, one who will kill, maim, steal, whatever the case may be, and actually get enjoyment out of, doing that to humans. And so they have to hide. They have to hide in plain sight. If there's other psychopaths that they've created, and by the way, vaccines do it as well, Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality by Harris Coulter is a book about how criminal violence and psychopathy basically can be created with vaccine damage to those areas as well. So not only are they doing what they're doing, but they're trying to find ways to make others who would not normally be that way, because then they can hide better. And then they can prosecute the non-Jews and make it look like they have a problem with people of no conscience, when in fact, they will find a loophole for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, Jews actually do have a higher tendency of mental illness and insanity. They have admitted this in their own encyclopedias. Just genetically, they have a higher rate of mental illness amongst their people, which I believe contributes to this psychopathy, and it's certainly pretty evident just looking at their actions in the world. So I think it is a combination of their religion, their culture, their genetics that manifests this evil, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon.
No, and just like those fish I mentioned, the snakehead Asian fish that can actually walk on land and are basically killing off all the fish in the waterways this side of the Mississippi, on the eastern side up to Lake Michigan. We have to find a way to neutralize these psychopaths. And as I said before, I don't claim to have all the answers. Maybe we can get a vaccine for psychopaths. And I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course. All right, we're almost out of time, and I hope to have you on again, ZCF, because you are just such a wealth of information. And not only that, but you are such an inspiration to myself as a 57-year-old person who was clueless when I was your age. And look what you have done. I mean, you are a hero. You are a true patriot of the world. What you are doing cannot be highly enough commended. And, of course, you don't get paid for this. You do this on your own time at great personal risk. And we need more people like you in your generation because, of course, they are on the precipice. They don't realize that they are lemmings, and they're going to jump off and follow the rest of the crew. And as the depopulation agenda, 90%, Georgia Guidestones, the Agenda 21, they're telling us in our face. We want to kill off most of you. And if we're going to stop this, we have to do what you're doing. So I thank you so much for everything you're doing.
You.
But in closing, I wanted to get into this the Department of Remembrance of Victims of the Holocaust Committee, which we had discussed on another show, which really, I mean, talk about totally insanity, how our Congress has actually committed $47 million of a $78 million operating budget to create Holocaust museums, 33 of which are in the United States. The taxpayers are paid for this. As you said, the Holocaust is a hollow hoax, and part of their mission is to confront Holocaust deniers. So right. I guess you must be on the top of their list.
Well, I'm definitely a target, and they have carnivorously tried to censor me, and of course, Holocaust revisionists in general are the target of not only a physical attacks, propaganda against them in the media, demonization, but also they are thrown in prison in 16 countries where Holocaust revisionism has been outlawed by the various Zog regimes, particularly in Europe. And this is typical of these criminals. They need to keep this myth, this Holocaust propaganda, at the forefront of everybody's mind in order to keep them pacified and subservient to Jewish domination. Because if everybody thinks Jews are the victims, the ultimate and perennial victims of history, they're not going to question what they tell us in the media. They're not going to question Jewish actions in the world, such as their crimes in Palestine and their promotion of other wars in the Middle East, like the Iraq war and now the push for the war against Iran. These are Jewish wars led by Jewish motivations and for Jewish gain. And the Holocaust myth is the driving engine of all of this madness. It is the foundation of the entire network of Jewish criminality that we see manifesting today. And that is why they get the U.S. government to promote the Holocaust. They get European governments to promote the Holocaust and punish anyone who questions it. This is insanity. This is tyrannical. This is George Orwell's 1984 right before our very eyes, and it needs to be exposed, and we need to fight this because we will be in the gulags tomorrow if we let them do this to us. So, you know, in closing, we need to put down this fear that everybody has of speaking about these issues. If you're afraid to talk about this, then really you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to be sitting there scared. If you're confident in what you believe, we have the facts all on our side. We have all the truth in the world on our side, so we have nothing to be afraid of. They have nothing but lies and propaganda and deceit. They're the ones that should feel ashamed for the stuff that they put out, for the lies that they tell and the crimes that they commit. We are the good guys. We're fighting on the side of good. We are fighting on the side of truth. And that's why
let me interject because we're almost out of time. The only suggestion I will give you is to get rid of that word belief as far as what you're doing. There's a lie in the middle of the word belief. And this word has been used to get people to say, okay, you believe this, I'll believe that, we'll agree to disagree and go home. No, you have to substitute the word no, because you know the truth. You've got it documented on your website up to the heavens, okay? So get rid of the word belief, because when you know the truth, if you tell somebody, I know the Holocaust is a lie, I know that the Jews are psychopaths, I know that their agenda is being used to destroy everything that matters on the face of the planet, then people have to say to themselves, okay, he knows it, he doesn't believe it, so maybe I should check it out. And that's the only suggestion I have to give to you. But I also want to mention just a couple other factoids that I gleaned from listening to another interview that you did on this whole Department of Remembrance of the Victims of the Holocaust, which people should be outraged, as our country is bankrupt and they're spending millions of dollars on remembrance of the victims of the Holocaust, which is a hoax. That the DOD, the Department of Defense, actually has a guide for the history of the Department of Remembrance of the Victims of Holocaust and sample ceremonies to be done on all military bases. So isn't it interesting that they're indoctrinating the military with the same crap as they're going into all these other foreign countries raping, killing, murdering, doing drone attacks on enemies of the criminals in the state of Israel.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
I'm your host, Jimmy X, talking about...